Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. I'm absolutely thrilled with today's guest, and I really want to introduce her to you. And here she is, Michelle. Hello, Michelle. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really thrilled to have you here because, from the human design perspective, you're a projector, and projectors are like 20% of the entire population. So they're not that common, not as common as generators like me or manifesting generators. So it's always wonderful to have a projector on the show. So I'm very happy to have you here. Please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Thank you. Yeah, just a side note, you know, since learning about human design and I've kind of run all the charts with my friends, two of my best friends are both projectors. So I feel like we're just clumping together. I'm just finding the other 20% out there to kind of build up my gang, my projector gang.
Projectors unite.
Exactly. You know, it's like we've got to stick together. We've got to help each other out.
Yeah.
So as you said, I'm a projector, which I found out probably about 3 or 4 months ago. So I'm fairly new to the human design world, but I'm trained as a Jungian life coach, and I specialize helping women find deeper answers to questions that they have about themselves. And I tend to work mainly with older women that have a sense of something missing or some kind of, that something's not quite as it should be inside. And, you know, we go on a journey of exploration to try and discover what that is and help them reclaim that as well. So I love the human design, the world of human design, because I just feel it complements so well the Jungian psychology and philosophy. And it really did feel like a missing piece when I discovered human design of like, that makes so much sense from a Jungian perspective. So I'm in love with it. And I'm finding out as much as I can about it all the time.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Yeah, I can imagine that it's a beautiful complementary element to the work that you do. And I think what you described about your ideal clients, I think we can all relate to that, especially, I mean, being an older woman, being 55 now, I think we can all relate to the feeling that something is not quite right, something is missing. And that was the exact same thing for me before I started discovering human design. And when I found it for me, like you said, you know, it was a missing piece of the puzzle. And I was like, oh my goodness, of course, this makes so much sense. And every time I work with it, not just for me, but also for my clients, it's spot on every single time. And people are like, what? It's like you're inside my mind. How do you do this? Like, it's in your design.
You know, and it's curious because a lot of the work that I do is about breaking out of the stereotypes that we've put ourselves into, or the kind of the confinements of identifying as and then fill the blank. So with human design, I've been a bit cautious because I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to be putting myself into a typecast of like, oh, I'm this. But actually, because of the unconscious element and the conscious element, it really, like I said, it just complements everything so well, because it's not about trying to put you into a box and saying you are this.
No,
it's actually just kind of going, this is what you came into the world as. The box that you've put yourself into is through all the social conditioning that you've lived through your life. And now you need to kind of get rid of all that conditioning to get back to who you were when you first came into this world. So like I said, other other ways of describing character or describing personality, I tend to be a little bit, you know, cautious of getting too caught up in them. And that's how I felt first off of human design until I kind of discovered that, like I said, it just really is the missing piece for me, the missing piece. So
Oh, I totally relate to that, the other personality types and all of that. It can be confining. Like I don't know if you, I'm sure you know this, you know, the DISC or MBTI or all the other assessments, which are actually assessments based on questions, whereas human design, of course, is based on your date of birth, time of birth, and place of birth. But for me, it was, I mean, I've worked in the corporate world for a very long time, so we're very used to the DISC colors, for instance. And I was surrounded by people who said, oh yeah, but I'm a very red person. Yeah, but you're not just a red person. You're so much more than that. And that's what I love about human design, that it shows you who you were originally when you were born. And it's not like a label of, okay, you, in your case, you're a projector. In my case, you're a generator and you cannot be anything else. It's a guideline. That's what it is. It's a guideline. It's not like a strict label of, oh, you're a projector, so you cannot do anything else. No. So,
and I think it's interesting, and I've never really thought about it before, but you're quite right when you say about the other personality types, tests or whatever they are. You're answering questions. So you're answering them from a very conscious place. And if you're somebody who is, you know, in this line of work for a start, you know, I sit there and I notice the questions, because obviously they're kind of, you know, they've got these five types that they're going to put you into. And each of these questions is looking to put you into one of those types. And then they mix them all up. But it's like, I can identify, I'm like, oh, that's for that type. That's for that type. Exactly. You know, so it's like, I'm like, I know what my type's going to be. I can tell you what my type's going to be, because consciously I'm very aware of who I am, how I operate in the world. I have that self-awareness. What's interesting with Jungian psychology and with human design is this unconscious element, this part that we're not in control of, that we can't influence, that it's something that's actually influencing us that we're not necessarily aware of. And that's the beauty, because once you start discovering those elements of yourself, then everything starts making sense. And that, when I started reading or learning about projectors, then it was just like a whole aha moment of like, oh my god, that makes so much sense. You know, it really was like when you said, you know, your clients think that you're in their mind and stuff, it's like, because that's what made me have faith in it. It's like, I've not answered any questions for you to determine that this is what I'm like. Yet here you are kind of describing stuff about me that makes so much sense, that I've been kind of almost working against, you know, living in a generator world. You know, as a projector, it's incredibly exhausting. And just knowing that was just like, oh, that makes so much sense. And so it's, you know, it's very different, I think, to being pigeonholed through a set of questions that you're basically in control of the answers anyway.
Whenever you answer a question, like in an assessment, you can potentially manipulate the outcome. And with this, it's, you know, it's your date of birth, your time of birth. You cannot manipulate anything. The only thing is, and I always find it really sad when people don't know their exact time of birth. And even I spoke recently to someone who was adopted, and she didn't even know her exact date of birth. And then it's much tougher. Tougher. But there are ways around that. So she spoke to someone who does the pendulum work, and well, in a way we figured out her date of birth, and so we had a discussion, but it was not as clear as when you exactly know. But it's really for me it's really helpful, and it's such a beautiful tool. But it's a tool. It's a tool, and it's not like a goal in itself. For me, it's always a means to an end. So it's wonderful that we know, and what you said about being a projector in a generator world, I mean, generators, manifesting generators, they represent 70%. So we are surrounded by generators and manifesting. I mean, I am a generator, but I know from many projectors and projector clients that they have struggled in the past. You know, one of my clients is a projector and he was born into a manifesting generator family. So his parents were manifesting generators. His two sisters were manifesting generators.
Wow.
And he is a projector. And he was always labeled as the lazy one. Always lazy. Oh, you're always sleeping. Oh, you're just lazy. You're, you know, you don't want to do anything. You don't feel like doing anything. And that was really a big issue when he grew up. Now that he knows about it, the relationship with his parents and his sisters has improved incredibly because he spoke about it, because it all makes sense. And they were like, oh, we feel so bad for labeling you as lazy. He said, I just didn't have the same amount of energy like you guys did.
And I think, you know, I can relate to that so much. I don't, unfortunately, know my parents because they don't know their time of birth neither. But well, I did my mum's chart and she came out as a generator, and my dad, like I said, he's unfortunately he's passed away, so I couldn't even get a rough time of day with him, you know. But my sister is a manifesting generator.
Oh, wow.
And I think my whole life, you know, I wasn't labeled lazy and all those things because I fought against it so hard. And, you know, like up until a couple of years ago, really, I would have described myself as a highly energetic person. And then for the last 2 years, I've been experiencing, you know, I've got several theories of what the cause is, one of them being, you know, a projector living in a generator world. But I've been dealing with fatigue and, you know, what could be called burnout, although I don't particularly like that phrase necessarily. But I've been struggling with my energy levels. And like I said, now with the information about projectors, I'm like, oh, okay, that's definitely a factor, you know, because I've got two young children. I've been, you know, trying to be super mom, trying to, you know, run a business, look after my children. I live in a different country from my family, so I don't have my, you know, a support network here like I would in the UK. And I've tried to juggle all those plates, you know, thinking that I have to adhere to this certain standard that I was holding myself to. And then, you know, I think I've just, I let all the plates drop at one point and just went, okay, right, what's going on here? And that's kind of been a big part of my journey as well.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, what happens a lot with projectors who don't have the consistent source of energy, of life energy, so they don't have the defined sacral center, many of them have a defined heart center. And the heart center is all about willpower and determination. So what happens a lot that projectors mistake willpower for energy. So they just keep going. And they just, you know, try to keep up in the generator world. But they mistake their willpower for energy. And then at some point, they are like, I'm exhausted. I cannot do anything else anymore. But that's very often, that's the reason. And then they found out, like, oh, my goodness, I don't have the energy. I really don't. And I don't even have the willpower anymore either.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I've got a defined heart center. So that definitely resonates. And I think that was exactly how I was feeling, you know, because I'm a very determined person, then I've mistaken that as, you know, being able to have the energy. So once I found that out about being a projector, there was a huge surrendering to like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. Yeah. How can I operate in this world then? And that's been, you know, again, integral to me shifting and changing in the way I live my life, basically. And it is helping, you know. Obviously I still feel very much I'm in a transitional period with a lot of things regarding my health and, you know, the age that I'm at as well. I think I'm perimenopausal, so obviously you've got that thrown into the mix.
Yeah.
So But even just knowing that, kind of, if I'd gone into perimenopause thinking I was a generator, you know, God knows what would have happened. So at least this way, I think, you know, it's going to be a smoother ride.
Yeah.
Because I can approach it as a projector, which just feels so much more empowering.
Yeah.
Instead of fighting against probably what is going to, you know, be a constant change and fluctuation of my energy levels.
Yeah.
Because of that. And then knowing that, okay, I've got these tools as a projector to be able to manage that. So that feels like such a much more empowered place to be in.
You know, very often my clients tell me when I do a human design reading with them, what they usually say is, you just gave me permission to be me.
Yes.
And I think that's the beauty of human design, that it really gives you permission to be who you are and who you were meant to be. Mm-hmm. And it's very often, it's a great reminder, because just the other day I spoke to a manifestor and she's literally said, you know, I don't feel like a manifestor. I don't feel that powerful. I don't feel like I am a leader whatsoever. And but then we spoke about her childhood and what she was like as a child before the age of 7. Because, you know, between 0 and 7, well, you know this even better than I do, between 0 and 7, we really get shaped, right? Mm-hmm. And we spoke about her, what she was like as a child. And then I could see like the penny drop, and she was like, oh my goodness, I mm-hmm. was a manifester mm-hmm. until the age of 7. And then things started to change because I tried to fit in and I tried to, you know, to adjust and to adapt to the people around me and to what I thought people expected from me. Mm-hmm. So it's permission. It's a huge permission to be who you really are at the core and who you were meant to be.
You know, my youngest daughter is a projector, and we get along famously, you know, and then my eldest daughter is a manifestor. And again, when I found that out and when I started looking into what a manifestor was, lots of pennies dropped. It was just like, oh, because I'd always felt a little bit bad that me and my younger daughter we just clicked, and it's so easy. Yeah. And we're just so chilled out with each other.
Yeah.
And then with my older daughter, there's just this kind of battle and, you know, sometimes just, you know, she could drain me a lot with her energy, you know?
Yeah.
And then I really, you know, just this whole leader thing, I'm like, wow, you know, I'd inadvertently been squashing that in her a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously as a mother, you just want your kids to do what you ask them to do. you really just want them to do it, please. Yeah. I don't want to have to fight about everything. Whereas now it doesn't bother me, because I get that that's what, you know, I kind of respect that in her. I'm like, okay, yes, that's you. So now I can approach her in a different way of sort of like, I understand that's how you feel. I understand that's, you know, you want to express this your way.
Yeah.
But we are part of a family. We are part of a team. We all need to kind of find ways to, you know, and it's even as a mother, it's just given me so much more information of how to raise my children, that's you know, right. as they're supposed to be raised, allowed to be who they are. Yeah. While still being really conscious of the fact that they do live in a society where we have to, you know, adapt and find ways to work with others. So it's that task of, you know, and I think as a projector, I've got that advantage of being able to see how I can help her kind of be empowered as a manifester, but also respect kind of the norms of society and be able to you know, find her way well in the world, knowing who she is and knowing obviously where the limits are as well with that. So
that's the beauty of being a projector, because you're as the projectors in our world, like, you are here to guide us. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the guides, you're the lighthouses, you are the beacons for the other energy types. So I think it's so beautiful what you just described about the relationship with your daughter, because this is exactly what you're meant to be doing. And I think it's such a great gift if we can give this to our children, that we mm-hmm. understand them and that we can help them to understand themselves and not trying to fit in any box whatsoever. So I think obviously. I'm very enthusiastic about human design.
Yeah. But, you know, because the two of them, like I said, my younger daughter is a projector. And sometimes my elder daughter can be a bit cutting with her, a bit mean to her, you know, mm. and it breaks my heart because, you know, I can see that she always means well. And, you know, sometimes her sister doesn't necessarily give her the invitation, or she doesn't, you know, see her for the kind of wisdom that she has for such a young child.
Yeah.
And I actually had this conversation with her recently. Like, they're 6 and 9, but they're pretty, you know, switched on.
Yeah.
And I said to my younger daughter, I was like, you know, you're a projector, Seska's a manifester, and you're going to really complement each other as you grow and get older, because Seska won't always realize the best way forward of things to do, but you're going to be able to kind of tell her or help her with that. And then she's going to be able to kind of like have the energy to kind of like take you with her wherever she's going and whatever she's bringing into this world. I was like, if the two of you can work together as a team, you're going to be able to do brilliant things in this world together. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure some of it went over her head, but it gave her something. I could see it kind of soothed her a little bit after being shut down by her sister. I was like, yeah, she's not going to get you all the time, but, you know, just have patience with her and know that she doesn't mean to actually just cut you out like that sometimes, yeah. you know? So it's, again, just a lovely gift to have. Absolutely. To be able to have this knowledge to be able to see their world a bit differently and kind of hopefully give them something to move forward in their world with as well.
Absolutely. And you know what I love doing with human design is to make it practical and to make it applicable, because I know there are many amazing, by the way, human design coaches out there who are really going deep into gates and channels and very often I hear them talking about, yeah, this is my gate 37. And I'm like, yeah, okay. What does that mean exactly? How does that play out? And then they have like, you know, very, no doubt, very well-founded, but a very spiritual story. And I'm like, yeah, but what does that mean for my daily life? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's what I love doing. And that's why I love to bring in the business element as well, because being a projector, me being a generator, I love how we can apply those elements into our lives and our businesses. So mm-hmm. when we look at your business, how did you start? How did you start your business? Could you tell me a bit about that?
Well, all of my backstory seems to start when I had children. It's like whatever question anyone ever asked me, I think, well, so it's like, you know, before and after, I think. Yeah. My life before children was just a bit kind of random and sporadic. And then after children, it kind of became a bit more conscious and meaningful, I think, in its direction. And I needed to change my line of work. I was teaching English as a foreign language, and the main teaching hours were in the afternoons. So after having children, this was like, I can't do this anymore. So I started looking at setting up my own business as an online language teacher. And as I was doing this, obviously the power of Google got me out there with the algorithms into the world of coaches, because I started getting contacted by coaches, business coaches, who wanted to help me with my online English business. And I didn't know what a coach was. I was like, who are all these people? What do they want? What on earth is a coach? What is a business coach? And as I started investigating it, I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And even though I love teaching and you know, I've really enjoyed it, there was also this sense of, like I said, it was coming to an end. And I thought that was because I was shifting from a kind of working for companies into creating my own business with it. Mm-hmm. But actually, as I started discovering more and more about coaching, I just felt like, wow, this is the shift I want to make. It feels very, you know, like a, what's the word I'm looking for? an up level from teaching English, you know, because I'm used to talking to people. I'm used to hearing people's stories, and just, you know, my teaching was very conversational, like just literally, you know, talking, but then working on grammar or vocabulary or whatever. But I was never one of these kind of, you know, grammar heavy teachers or something like this. So for me, coaching felt like an extension of teaching.
Yeah.
With these new set of tools, these new set of ideas. And with it, because I the type of coaching I got into with the Jungian psychology, and it's also my coaching's based in Eastern philosophy, then it just started expanding my mind of what's possible, you know, how we get caught up in our own stories and the way that we can move away from those and into stories that we want to create, and creating the life and world that we want. And I'm so sorry if you can hear that noise. There's constant building works going on where I live.
Right.
So basically, I did an online course, one of these cheap video courses that you can do to become a life coach. And at the end of 8 hours of watching videos, I think they announced that I was now a life coach. And I was just like, I don't think I am.
What?
Yeah, like, not quite sure about that. But it was that stepping stone to looking for an actual valid course that I could do. And that's where I discovered the course that I actually ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been the last kind of 3 years, really, just studying with them, completing my course. I'm now going for my ICF accreditation. So
that's great.
I've been doing all of the kind of the work behind of that and all the rest of it. And just, you know, working with clients along the way and discovering more about myself and, you know, from a business point of view, what my why is, what my brand is, what I'm all about, what is it that I'm actually even trying to do? And this is where the human design kind of, again, gave me a real light bulb moment, is that as a projector, as you said, as a guide, as somebody who's here to, you know, be that beacon for people, then it just started making so much more sense with my business and what I was doing. And I'm still not, I, you know, I think it's a constant process. I don't think it ever stops, but it feels like I haven't quite tweaked everything exactly as I want it to be just yet, because it feels like all of this new information about being a projector is just feeding into that and allowing me to understand myself and my business better, and what it is that I'm offering to people, what it is that I want to help people with. So I'm, you know, 6 months ago, my ideal client wasn't as accurate as what I've described to you today. You know, so it's things like this that, and I'm sure it will evolve further, you know, in six Absolutely. Months time, it might be, you know, tweaked again. But it just feels like since finding out about being a projector, that's helped me hone in so much more on what it is. And it also stopped a lot of the doubt and the worry and the fear, because, you know, there was part of me that I think becoming a coach, I had this kind of, oh, you know, who am I to think that I can do this? Who am I? You know, a lot of this self-doubt and negative self-talk, and actually having that confirmation of like, oh, I'm a projector. Yes, no, that's exactly what I should be doing. That's absolutely fine to be a coach. That's completely aligned. And that makes absolute sense. And that kind of, you know, like I said, stopped the voices a little bit, or completely. Because I thought, well, yeah, we're all here to do different things. And this is my thing. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
And then the details are kind of, like I said, they just keep coming and coming, and everything just gets honed down more and more as you go along the process.
Well, you know, I always tell people when they start with their human design, you know, this is a journey of a lifetime, because as a person, as a human being, we have so many layers in our personality, and so does human design. There are so many layers to discover. And when you know your energy type, your strategy, your authority, you have like covered 70-75%. And then, of course, there are many other elements, your profile lines, your gates, your channels, your incarnation cross, all of that, your open and defined centers. There are so many elements to it, but it's impossible to, first of all, to understand it all, and then to know it all about yourself, and then to really live it and embody it. And that takes time. That takes time. So it's impossible to know things overnight and implement it all. It will, you know, it will grow and it will evolve, as will you as a person. So it's always, I always call it a journey of a lifetime. And even though people love the shortcuts, they love like, you know, I want a solution overnight. But unfortunately, it's not there.
It's never like that. And that's, I think that's the thing as well, when with the Jungian psychology, it's, you know, from a marketing point of view, it feels like a lot. And again, this is why, sorry, because I've got about three things in my head. So I'm like, let's get those in order.
Yeah.
When before knowing I was a projector and I was following all the marketing advice that was out there, and it just felt really confusing for me, really overwhelming. And I didn't get it, you know, it frustrated me a lot. And then finding out I was a projector and how that kind of works with marketing, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense of why I'm really repelled by all of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I'm much more attracted to doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And one of the things with that is this idea with marketing that you're selling a dream, or that you're, you know, you're touching people's pain points, or you're whatever. Because I'm like, but from a Jungian psychology point of view, this is a journey of a lifetime. As a coach, I cannot promise you that you're going to achieve X, Y, or Z in 3 months with me or 6 months with me. I mean, people coming to work with me, it's really about a journey of exploration. It's about a journey of curiosity. It's about wanting to get to know, you know, the goal is wanting to get to know yourself better, wanting to be connected better inwardly.
Absolutely.
But that will have outside results, that will have external results in your life.
Yeah.
But people, you know, this idea to market to those external pain points, for me, just feels really misaligned.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, but that's not that, I feel like I'm lying to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe attracting people that do want a quick fix solution. And it's like, well, that's not what I can offer you. I can offer you guidance, as in I can be somebody to accompany you during a journey of exploration.
Yeah.
And we'll see together kind of what manifests from that. But, you know, it's very difficult for me to say yes in 3 months' time if you want to have a raise and have a new job and you want to do this and you want to do that. It's like, I don't know. No. You know, we'll discover what happens together, really.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I totally hear you on that, because it feels so unnatural and icky to look or to promise those results. And well, especially when you look at the common theories in the online world are like, oh yeah, you should address the pain points, and you know, and then talk about that, and this is the way to do it. But I really believe that these things are shifting, and because people have a bullshit radar. They have a bullshit radar. So they, whenever, you know, 10K in 10 days or something, we all know these crazy blueprints. In the past, people bought them, like, you know, just like that. But I think that is changing, that people are like, yeah, right. Let's see. And of course, there's still a group of people who do that. They market it, they sell it, and there are people who are buying it. But I believe, and I hear that, and I feel that the awareness and the consciousness is shifting to a higher level, and people are like, yeah, but you know, it's not realistic. So let's look for a more sustainable solution when it comes to guidance and coaching, etc. So in that sense, I think you've made the right choice by not promising those crazy results, because it's impossible, right?
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I'm really new to human design, but from what I understand, there is this shift, like you say, in consciousness that's happening, or we're moving through at the moment.
Yeah.
And again, since even learning that, it's very possible, because the circles I move in, as I said, two of my best friends are projectors, but it does feel like that. I see things, and I see that the world is Like you say, just not being so sucked in by things anymore with these kinds of marketing ploys. And it does feel kind of almost very old fashioned now to hear or see those kinds of techniques. And, you know, I have to be in the world of social media because that's part of the deal of the job that I do. But I can scroll through Facebook and it makes my skin crawl sometimes because it's so horrible. And I've got people friending me all the time. And, you know, I used to just say yes to everyone and then I'd have my inbox full with all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like a bit more, you know, conscious of this, and I'll actually check them out before I say yes to them. And some of them have got like three photos and they, you know, they've obviously opened a new account and I don't even know what the story is behind all of this. I don't know if they're bots. I don't know if it's this or that. Yeah. But I'm like, seriously, are people still doing this? Like, how much success do people get from this? Because people don't want to be lied to. People don't want to be manipulated, and they don't want to be, you know, their pain points poked, basically.
Exactly.
I think, I don't know if because I'm now in this world, I feel like I've got a lot of information about this. But I think people, you know, even if it's not, even if they don't have this information explicitly, I think implicitly people are sensing that that's what's happening, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, I'm just being bombarded with all of this and I don't like it.
Yeah, so in a sense when something is off, and now more than ever before, I think.
Absolutely.
I love that. I absolutely love that because that was, for me, that was something that I was struggling with a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, I just felt like I cannot promise people like, oh, you're going to make 10K months when you work with me. No, I don't know. Because it's you know, it's first of all, it's a two-way street. So I can give you everything that I know, but it's up to you to do the work. Mm-hmm. And then again, I cannot guarantee anything. Mm-hmm. And people who do, I mean, I don't know. I think it's very bold to say that. But it feels really bad if I work with someone and I have promised them the 10K month and it's not happening. I feel incredibly bad when that happens, but that was something I was struggling with. So when you look at your business, what were elements that you were struggling with?
I think the biggest battle, which, you know, I prefer not to think of it as a battle now because I'm a bit more experienced, I guess. But when I first started out, it was like, who's my ideal client? What's my why?
Yeah.
You know, what am I trying to do here?
Yeah.
And the amount of pressure, and I used to think, oh, if I had, you know, if I was rich, I would employ a branding specialist and I would have this and I would have this. And actually, as I've gone through, even if I'd had all of that money, I still wouldn't have ended up with the brand that I want because I didn't know what I wanted then. Because I was just too inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's 3 years on, so I'm still not, you know, the most experienced person out there. But 3 years on, and after working with several, you know, some clients and being in the online world and seeing what else is out there and getting advice from different people and having coaches and doing all of these things, doing my own work, now I'm starting to sense who I am, what I'm about as a coach, I mean, and what I'm offering. And it feels like that could never have been sped up, that always had to be the time it was. So now I don't battle with these things. I'm my experience has taught me to not sweat the small stuff, to just keep doing what I love, showing up for the things that I love to show up for, not really putting too much energy or time into things that I don't care for. And I don't know if this applies to kind of all human design types, but at least for me, it feels like it works very well of like only things that, you know, really light me up that I want to be putting my energy into because I've got such a limited amount that I have to be choosy.
Yeah.
But that's a skill that I've had to develop. And like I said, it serves me well because I can just be like, this is what I have energy for and what I want to do. And all those other things I just can't do. And that's it. And rather than stressing about it and being like, oh, but I should be doing that and I have to do that and da 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 da, it's just like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I have this energy, so it's for this, and it has to be the best place to put it because that's the only place I can put it, if that makes sense.
That's great. Yeah. So it helps you to be more efficient with your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, stop the voices, stop the kind of the negativity or the, not the negativity, the kind of the voice of you should.
Yeah.
You know, which as a coach, I obviously do my own inner work anyway. And, you know, I have support for that from, you know, my own coaches and support system that I have.
Yeah.
But the human design has really been, it was like flicking a switch.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can stop doing all this inner work trying to, like, you know, come to terms with all these things now, because it's just like, oh, I don't have to care about that. It's okay.
Exactly.
And just that quick, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just the best realization that you can have. I mean, for me as a generator, I remember that moment when I found out that I'm not supposed to initiate. I'm supposed to wait to respond. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I have initiated so much. And it was never in response. And that's why it cost me so much energy, and why that's why I was so exhausted at the end. And I was so disappointed with the result as well, and frustrated. And then I finally got it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to wait to respond. And when I respond, and when I do the things that light me up and that create fun and satisfaction, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, feel the satisfaction and the joy and the fun, and like, oh, like this, you know, interviewing people on my podcast, I could do this every day and like 24/7. I love it. I get so much energy out of it. So, so yeah, and then things become so much easier. And that's the beauty, I think, of knowing your human design and knowing how to apply it, because that's the other element, I would say.
And I actually, I listened to a podcast by a projector who helps projectors in the business world.
Yeah.
And a tip that she gave, which really has helped me out so much, was to have, well, I have a Google Doc basically where I have my desired invitations, so the things that I'd like to happen, and then you know, a little bit about how that would make me feel if that came to be, if somebody gave me that invitation, and then a column for like who's invited me, and then my follow-up action on that. And, you know, literally, I've wanted to be involved in podcasts since I started working as a coach. And I put that on this list, and I think within maybe it was actually that same day, I remember now, a friend of mine, I don't even remember if I brought up the topic. I think I hadn't, which is why it blew my mind so much. But we were talking about my work and all the rest of it, and she said, oh, you should do a podcast. And I was just like, there's my invitation.
Yeah.
And then like literally, you know, a couple of days after that, I think, you know, you reached out about, you know, looking for people to interview on the podcast.
Yeah.
Then the person whose podcast I listened to, I listened to her an episode, and she did the same. She's like, oh, you know, I'm looking to interview projectors about their work and blah, blah, blah. Then I was on your advice. In fact, I met with a manifesting generator, and we were looking for possibilities of a collaboration. And just through a couple of things he said, because I hadn't gone there really with any idea of what to do, but just on a couple of things he said, I was like, would you be interested in doing a podcast together? And, you know, it's been so easy. And even though, you know, this is the first kind of real action I've taken is doing this podcast with you, but I'm in the background, I'm doing this work with him on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I've got this other person kind of, you know, it can happen in the future, but knowing that I can wait, knowing that, you know, because I used to be so impatient, and I had an idea and I have to do it now. It has to be now.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I've had the invitation. These things don't expire. And now I can just, as they come in with the energy that I've got, I can do it. And it just feels more in flow, basically.
Yeah,
then it's beautiful. Right. It's beautiful when you feel that.
Yeah, it's the feeling of flow, and that it's so easy, and that it's so effortless, basically. That's what the beauty of following your design is all about. And for any projector listening, being a guest on a podcast is the best thing to expand your audience, to grow your audience, because you are recognized as the expert. And when you're a guest on a podcast, and you are invited. So it's the best way forward, you know. Collaborating with others is always a good thing. Being invited into other people's groups as a guest expert, it's always the best way for projectors to do it. It's for you know, for any business owner, it's always a great way to do it, but especially for projectors, because you need to wait to be recognized and be invited. So I love it that this is happening for you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting.
I know. And if I could just comment on that from a perspective of a projector, I can sit here with you today and I can speak effortlessly. I'm not fumbling over my words. I'm not struggling for things to say. Like, everything feels very in flow. And on other occasions, when I've instigated something myself, and you know, I think for so long, every time I spoke to anyone about social media, I said, I feel like I'm screaming into the void.
Yeah.
And it used to upset me so much. I used to feel so hurt, so unseen, so unrecognized.
Yeah.
And, you know, I now recognize the difference. Like when I'm in a situation like this, like you say, I've been invited, I'm recognized as the expert. Everything's super great. I enjoy it. Lovely.
Yeah.
If I'm doing it on my own from a social media perspective, it just feels pretty soul destroying.
Yeah.
So I've had to learn as well of what is my content like on social media? What does that need to look like for me to feel comfortable with what I'm doing? And again, it goes against most of the advice of most marketing experts out there, because it just doesn't work for me if I do it that way, because that's kind of probably a generator way or a manifesting generator way.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel really sad, basically. It saps my energy. And I've learned, if something's sapping my energy, then it's not aligned. It shouldn't be in my world.
No, exactly. One of my projector clients, she had worked with a business coach before, and she was telling me about that experience. And basically what she said was that she got the assignment at the very start of their collaboration that she should add 10 new people on LinkedIn every day. And so basically that meant that she would be initiating the content, and it felt so awful for her. And she was so exhausted and so bitter at some point, because it never got her any results. People didn't even react or respond, or let alone accept her invitation. And she was like, you know, I don't think this is the way forward for me. But the coach, who was, in retrospect, we know now, was a manifesting generator. And she was like, no, you should do it. I do it too. And it works like a charm. Yes, for a manifesting generator, not for a projector.
Yeah.
So it's really important that you find your way in the way it matches your energy type, your design, and you as a person, because you know the difference, especially as a projector. You know the difference when something feels uncomfortable because you haven't done it, or it feels uncomfortable because it's out of alignment. There is a difference, and you know it. And I think many of us know it, because we really feel the difference. So I fully agree that it's so important to do the things your own way. That's what I do with my clients, to teach them the way they could use their design and apply that in their business, because there's so much beauty in there.
But I think a lot of our work as coaches, and you know, as I said, I work with women that feel like something's missing or if it's off, and a lot of it comes down to trusting ourselves.
Yes.
Like, we've been conditioned to not trust ourselves for whatever reason, whatever scenario. It's like it keeps coming back to that with the clients I work with. There's a lack of self-trust. There's this disconnect between how I feel and the story that I put in my head about that.
Yes.
And you know, that's a lot of the work for
Yeah.
most women, of getting back to that kind of self-trust so that you can say, okay, I'm uncomfortable. Why am I uncomfortable? Checking in with yourself. And like you say, doing that, oh, it's because I feel out of my depth, but I know I'm capable of learning this. Or, oh, it's because this is completely not aligned with me and this is not the right thing.
Exactly.
But, you know, this takes, it takes analysis of, analysis isn't the word I want to use. It takes exploration, self-curiosity,
That's
a
it.
lot of trial and error of, you know, making a lot of mistakes and then going, oh, okay, so that was definitely not aligned.
Yeah.
That's what that meant.
Yeah,
Okay, I'm going to
exactly.
remember that for next
Yeah.
time, you know, and learning to trust everything inside
Yes.
rather than all the noise from outside and being able to
True.
distinguish between those things. So
Yeah.
I
True.
think it sounds like we maybe come at it from different disciplines,
Yeah.
but essentially we're trying to help people do the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So to when you, because we need to wrap up. I could talk to you for hours, and I have this with every single guest. I could talk with them for hours. But we need to wrap it up. And I would love to hear your top three advice for our listeners. What are the top three things or lessons that you learned that you would like to share?
I think they're all, as most things in life, interconnected, and probably sound a little bit cliche. And, you know, the problem with cliches is that they're normally true. That's why they are cliches, you know. So I feel a bit boring kind of coming out with these, but hopefully the people listening will try these things out for themselves if they don't already, and then, you know, trial and error, see if it works for them.
Yeah.
But basically, my first piece of advice for anybody is to start meditating. And I know for a lot of people, they just hear the word meditation and it makes them recoil because, you know, they think of like hours and hours of sat, you know, in silence, trying not to think. So many people say to me, oh, but you've got to not think. And I'm like, no, that's not, for me at least, my understanding of meditation is not that. For me, meditation is about that pause between you and your thoughts, so that you can start recognizing that you are not your thoughts. And this is my kind of second piece of advice. Whatever way you might come to it, find a way to experiment with that idea that you are not your thoughts and you are not your emotions, that they are things that arise from within you, but they are not you and they do not define you. Because these are the things that tend to trap us, in my opinion, of
true,
keeping us very contained in a space that we don't necessarily want to be in. And then as an extension to that, because I know, like I said, meditation might be a bit off-putting to some people. They might, you know, find it a difficult concept to get their heads around. An easy way in for me to this kind of whole thing of separating yourself out from your emotions and your thoughts is to find a way to be creative, whatever that might look like for you. Because what I've discovered, having meditated a lot and you know, that being part of my daily routine and being creative, is there's an essence that exists within both of them that is the same. It's that being very much in the moment, in flow, not being focused on the chatter in your head and the thoughts and the doubts and the worries and the whatevers. So, you know, it can be dance, it can be singing, it can be drawing, it can be painting, it can be Canva, you know, with your business. I know when I go down a Canva rabbit hole, I can be there for hours.
Me too.
And I'm not,
me too.
You know, but it is, for me, this is almost a form of meditation, because it's about being in a space where you're accessing something deeper within yourself,
yep,
rather than this kind of mind that we all have the tendency to over-identify with.
Yeah.
So any way that you can start moving towards that idea that you are not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, and that you can just be, and that's enough, then that I think can give you lots to kind of approach life with, and your business.
I love that. Such great advice. And it's, well, it's not cliche at all. And I truly believe that we should repeat the cliches over and over again, because sometimes we need to hear things like 10 times before the penny drops. And I mean, I've had this so many times that I spoke to a person and they said, oh, but you should do this. And they're like, yeah, I know, I know, I know. And then at some point you hear it again, then you're, yeah, now I get it.
Exactly. And I've got to say, just with the meditation, like I started it because of the coaching training that I did, they kind of really, they raved about it, like how important it was really to everything. And so I did it because it was part of the training. But again, you know, it was very kind of, my hand was being forced ever so slightly. And then, you know, it dropped off whenever it dropped off. And that was when, and then things started to unravel a little bit. And I think that's when I realized, I was like, what's changed? It's like, oh, I'm not meditating anymore. So it's a very, very subtle effect that it can have on your life. It's not like you start doing it and all of a sudden you're like, you know, a Buddhist monk and super Zen. It's more about when you stop doing it, you start realizing how these kinds of inconvenient ways of being and thinking that aren't helpful or serving you well kind of creep back in again. So, you know, it is a slow burner. It is something that you've got to dedicate yourself to, and that's why it's called a practice. I always say that to people, it's a practice, because it's just it's something that you have to just practice every day, and that's it.
So in that sense, you know, it's with meditation, it's with, you know, building a habit is always like a journey. It's a long-term thing, and the same goes for human design. It's a long-term thing. It's not just something to pick up overnight and get it and apply it. So I love it. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much, Michelle, for your time, for your wonderful stories and your advice. And I will share all your details in the show notes so people can reach out to you, connect with you, because they should. And I look forward to seeing and hearing more from you, because we will stay connected.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, so please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.